Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
For years, interstitial fibrosis and tubular atrophy, IFTA, has been considered the endpoint of injury, essentially irreversible scarring. But the recent study by Sylvia Malvica and colleagues published in Lupus Science and Medicine in 2025 really challenges that paradigm.
Today, Drs. Kalunian and McMahon join the podcast to discuss, can we predict kidney function decline in patients with lupus nephritis in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight? All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ken Kalunian, director of the UC San Diego Lupus Center and professor of medicine in the Division of Rheumatology, Autoimmunity, and Inflammation at UC San Diego in San Diego, California.
And I'm Dr. Maureen McMahon, professor of medicine and associate chief for the Division of Rheumatology at the UCLA David Geffen School of Medicine in Los Angeles, California.
Thank you for joining me, Maureen.
It's my pleasure to be here, Ken.
I'd like to start by reframing how we think about chronic damage in lupus nephritis. For years, interstitial fibrosis and tubular atrophy, IFTA, has been considered the endpoint of injury, essentially irreversible scarring. But the recent study by Sylvia Malvica and colleagues published in Lupus Science and Medicine in 2025 really challenges that paradigm by showing that inflammation within fibrotic areas, what they term IIFTA, is not passive but biologically active and prognostically meaningful.
Exactly. And I think the most practice-changing aspect of that paper is the clear demonstration that IIFTA is both common and clinically relevant. In their cohort of 124 lupus nephritis biopsies, IFTA was present in 71% of cases, and among those, 86% had detectable inflammation within fibrotic areas. That alone tells us that this is not a rare or incidental finding. It's the rule rather than the exception.
And more importantly, it's not just descriptive, it's predictive. They define clinically meaningful progression as a decline in eGFR of more than 15 milliliters per minute over 3 years. And what they found was quite striking. In patients with moderate to severe fibrosis, greater than 25% IFTA, the degree of IIFTA strongly stratified risk. Patients with higher IIFTA grades had rates of eGFR decline approaching 75 to 78%, whereas those with little or no IIFTA had essentially no progression.
That's the key signal. Historically, we've relied heavily on the NIH chronicity index as a predictor of long-term outcomes, and rightly so. But what this study shows is that not all fibrosis behaves the same. Fibrosis with active inflammation carries a very different prognosis than fibrosis without it.
And I think that fundamentally disrupts the way we dichotomize lupus nephritis histology into active versus chronicity. We've traditionally assumed that activity is treatable and chronicity is not, but IIFTA sits right at the intersection. It's inflammation embedded with chronic damage.
Right. And mechanistically, the data support that. Using multiplex immunohistochemistry, they showed that these fibrotic regions are enriched with CD163-positive macrophages and CD4-positive T cells, followed by CD8 T cells. That cellular composition is very consistent with ongoing immune activation and tissue remodeling, not inert scar tissue.
And CD163-positive macrophages in particular are increasingly recognized as key drivers of fibrogenesis across multiple kidney diseases. So it raises a question, are we missing an opportunity to intervene in what we've historically labeled as irreversible damage?
I think that's exactly where this is heading. The authors explicitly state that IIFTA should be considered a potential therapeutic target, not just a prognostic marker. And if you think about our current treatment paradigm, we're not really tailoring therapy based on interstitial inflammation within fibrotic areas.
That's a great point. Our treatment decisions are still largely driven by glomerular pathology, class 3, 4, 5 disease, and clinical parameters like proteinuria and eGFR. But this study suggests that we may need to expand our focus to tubular interstitial compartments, particularly in patients with established fibrosis.
And practically, that brings up the question, should we be routinely scoring IIFTA? The study used the Banff classification of allograft pathology, which is well established in transplant nephrology, but not commonly applied in native kidney disease.
Exactly, and that's one of the most actionable takeaways. The authors advocate for routine evaluation and reporting of IIFTA in lupus nephritis biopsies. If validated further, this could become part of standard pathologic reporting, much like activity and chronicity indices today.
And it may also help explain a clinical phenomenon we've all seen, patients who appear to be in clinical remission but still progress over time. It's possible that subclinical inflammation within fibrotic areas is driving that progression.
That's a critical insight. We often equate reduction in proteinuria with disease control, but this study reinforces that histologic activity, particularly outside the glomerulus, may persist despite clinical improvement.
So how do you see this influencing management today? Are you changing your practice based on these data?
I don't think we're quite at that point of changing treatment algorithms yet, but it certainly raises my threshold for complacency in patients with significant chronicity. If I see a biopsy with greater than 25% IFTA, I'm now more concerned about what's happening within that fibrotic tissue and whether ongoing inflammation could justify sustained or even intensified therapy.
I agree. And it also reinforces the potential role of repeat biopsy in selected patients. If we're trying to decide whether to taper immunosuppression, understanding whether IIFTA is present could be highly informative.
Absolutely. And as we move forward, more precision-based approaches in lupus nephritis, integrating histologic features like IIFTA with emerging biomarkers, whether tissue-based or circulating, could help us better predict who is at risk for progression.
And ultimately, that's the goal, preventing irreversible kidney damage. What this study suggests is that what we've been calling irreversible may actually still be modifiable, at least in part.
Thank you, Maureen. Well said. So in summary, IIFTA represents a critical shift in our understanding of lupus nephritis, from a static model of fibrosis to a dynamic model where inflammation within scarred tissue continues to drive disease progression. And recognizing that may open the door to new prognostic tools and potentially new therapeutic strategies.
Exactly. And for clinicians, the takeaway is clear. Don't ignore the interstitium. It may hold the key to understanding and preventing long-term kidney function decline in lupus nephritis. I hope this gave our audience a few things to think about as we look ahead in lupus care and lupus nephritis. Thank you, Ken.
And thank you to our audience for watching.
And that's today's Special Spotlight. Thank you for joining this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PeerDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Kalunian and McMahon. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.